have an opening scripture, believe it or not. We always do. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And I don't think you'll have this translation in the computer. You do? Or did you type it? Ah, very good. 2 Corinthians 3:18 in the New Living Translation. And this is in the context of how people who read the Old Testament did not see Christ in the prophecies that foretold his coming to the nation of Israel, going all the way back to Genesis 3:15. And he's mentioned in every book of the Bible, even in all of the Old Testament scriptures. But like the veil in the temple that separated the people from going into the Holy of Holies, there was a veil. And it's the same veil that remains even today for the people whose minds are blinded to the truth of the gospel and who Jesus is. And Paul made mention of that up in verse 14. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remains the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. And so down in verse 18, this particular translation accurately uses the word veil because it pertains to the born-again believer. So all of us who have had that veil removed, and this is really important, can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And you see him on your face. His countenance is upon you. You see the evidence of his presence within you by the Spirit, but you can't, you don't see that in the natural, you see it in the Spirit. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we're changed into his glorious image. Now the old English uses the word mirror. When you look in a mirror, you see the reflection of Christ. And that is what we need to be looking for, being able to recognize his presence in the lives of each other. We know each other in the flesh, but there's a higher way of knowing someone, and that's by the Spirit, and being able to recognize his glory, his countenance, and his presence in the life of every believer. So when you look in the mirror, don't be shocked and don't be dismayed, because the real you in the earth suit shining loud and clear. So that's a good thing to think about this morning as we spend this day together. The veil has been removed from us so that we can really see not only who Christ is, but see him in each other. He was the veil. There was the blindness that was there before we knew him. Anybody else have a testimony before we have a special song this morning?
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ is Lord and that he's the Messiah, so there isn't a new Christmas message that we have to come up with every year, because there isn't a new one. We go back and we revisit scripturally the account. But what I like to do also once in a while is, let's look at some things that were said about him before he was born. Because there you get kind of the groundwork. One of the places, and I was reading about this, between Simeon and Anna, but also Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, the things that were said about John and also Jesus, because John the Baptist and Jesus were cousins, or Mary and Elizabeth were cousins, so John the Baptist and Jesus were kind of related. But coming to Zechariah's prophecy concerning John, and you wouldn't think it's important, but it really is, because John was the one that was called to be the forerunner to prepare the way in the wilderness for the Messiah to come, for the Lord to come. So going there from Luke chapter 1, verse 67, and just listen to what the Spirit prompted him to prophesy. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, and this is really important, because nobody was born again at that time. They couldn't be, because Jesus hadn't come. He hadn't gone to the cross, wasn't resurrected. But here's an instance where the Holy Spirit came upon Zechariah to prophesy. And he prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." Now he's speaking prophetically to the nation of Israel. "For he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." He's already beginning to speak of Jesus. "As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to us of our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore unto our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest." Now he's talking about John, still in Elizabeth's womb. "And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for you shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people in the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that are in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Now he's speaking of Christ again. So here's some examples of how, when Zechariah prophesied, there are multitudes of scriptures that he bore reference to, and they were all in the Old Covenant, and he just, like that, he was just able to speak them right off one after the other. And you could tell when a person is anointed of the Holy Spirit to bring forth a prophecy, is that the Spirit quickens those verses. You've probably had that happen sometimes. When the Lord gives you a word, the verses just come just like that, and you're able to speak them. And he did this. He collected them from all of these places, all of these references in the Old Testament, and put them all into one prophecy. And then, of course, Jesus is born, and you can hear more about that tonight. But, you know, we're looking behind the scenes. What happened before that, and how no one had any reason, if they were scribes, if they were Pharisees, if they were Sadducees. The difference with the Sadducees is they never believed in the resurrection, and that's why to this day they're still sad, you see. Because they got no hope. Gosh. Gotcha. What a boy, I'll tell you. Well, it is true. Without a resurrection, they would still be sad, wouldn't they? And so would we. And so on the eighth day, as was traditional in the temple, the children were brought, the male children were brought to be dedicated to the Lord. And so after Jesus was born, it's been a few days. And we come to the presentation in the temple. And I'd like to read that too. And then what Simeon spoke, and Anna, because these words are so wonderful. It would be like if you, back when you had a young baby, and someone came to you and they prophesied over that child, and you as moms and dads would be really excited, and your ear would be really key to hearing what, how did they know that? He's only 8 days old. How do they know what my son's going to be? How do they know who he's going to become? And begin to prophesy those things over his life. That was a very exciting time. But when verse 21 of chapter 2 of Luke, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. So after he was born, they went back to Nazareth, and then they brought him back to Jerusalem 8 days later. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And I was thinking about that. An offering had to be brought. His mom and dad had to bring an offering. And I was thinking about an offering, and they don't know that he is the offering. Isn't that cool? I mean, to bring an offering for the offering, because Jesus would be the sin offering. So their understanding was very, very limited at that time. They were told by the angel, but it's kind of like, people can tell us a lot of stuff, but until we have understanding, until we have revelation, they're just words. They're meaningful words, but we don't really have the depth of understanding of what they're talking about. And here we go. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Doesn't say a lot more about him as far as any stature in the city or not, but and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. He would be like today what we would call like watchmen on the watchtower. They're watching and waiting for the coming of the Lord. They're watching and waiting for all the scriptures that were foretold hundreds and hundreds of years down through the years for the one who would be raised up and come to be Israel's Messiah. That's what he spent his time doing. He was very knowledgeable of the scriptures and knew that one day would come. And I don't know how old he was. It doesn't say really. It does about Anna. It talks how old she was. But we haven't got to her yet. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. This is so important, why the Holy Spirit is so important, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ or the Lord's Messiah. What a prophecy. Can you imagine if the Lord, someone came to you anointed in the Holy Spirit and then pointed their finger at you and said, the Lord has shown me that you will not die until you see the Lord's return. It would have such an impact, because we don't know. And they didn't know. But the Holy Spirit gave him a word that he would not die until he had the opportunity to see the Messiah that God had raised up to send to Israel. All those generations of scriptures over and over in all the books of the Bible up to this point, Jesus is prophesied to come. And the Holy Spirit gave this man understanding. Look at all the boys that were brought to the temple, one after the other, the eighth day, ouch day, I'm not kidding. And yet, this one, Simeon knew something was different about this one. This was the one that was promised. He should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. You know, we talk about, as believers, wanting to be led by the Spirit, moved by the Spirit, prompted by the Spirit, speak by the Spirit, prophesy by the Spirit. Here was a man that wasn't even born again yet, and yet God anointed him with the Holy Spirit to speak these words that forever are etched in history for all eternity. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms, this is Simeon, took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. And he's talking about there would be many, many kings and leaders that would rise and fall in Israel, but this one would be entirely different. And he would be the one that would cause Israel and their leaders to stumble and be offended that a child born in a manger would be the Messiah for their nation, and would cause many to stumble. All of the wise, all of those that were so head smart, head knowledge, but here this one child would be the one that God had picked. Not the most esteemed, but for all practical purposes, the lowest esteemed. That always gave me hope. I was trailer trash until I got saved. Jesus came to a little ratty old mobile home in Naples, Florida, and snatched me out of hell. And I'm so glad, because I always said Jesus always knows where to go in the wintertime. He comes to Florida. And here he's talking to Mary, and yes, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. This is an interesting verse because it talks about what's going to happen with Mary to be the witness, to be the one who bore this child, and what God had purposed for this birth to begin with, and the sorrow that she would see, the way they treated him, the way they mocked him, the way they scourged him, the death that he would suffer on the cross, and how a sword was pierced through her heart. At that time, he was prophesying that that would happen, and that how he would be laughed at, he would be ridiculed, he would be mocked by the wise, mocked by the Pharisees, and ridiculed everywhere he went. They were always trying to entrap him and ensnare him, the imposter, the phony, the false Messiah. And then, of course, by the time he was 12 and he was sitting on the temple debating the scriptures with the scribes and Pharisees, and she freaked out because he disappeared and didn't know where he was. It would be like if one of our kids disappeared and we wouldn't know where he was, or she. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. So I'm assuming she lived from a very young age and had married at a young age. And she was a widow of about 84 years. So I don't know whether she was widowed for 84 years or she was a widow at the age of 84 years, but either way, this was her life now, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. This was her ministry. This is what she did. This is how she spent all those years without her husband. She doesn't say that she was lonely particularly. It doesn't say that she doesn't say a lot about her except that she spent all her time in the temple and fasting and prayer. And yet she's 84 years old and still going strong. And she coming in that instant, what instant? The instant that Simeon was prophesying over Jesus. At that instant she came in and gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. So she had confirmed Simeon's word that it was a true word of the Lord. This lady came in, and after spending 84 years of fasting and prayer, I would say she was probably tuned in pretty good, wouldn't you? And had a pretty clear recognition when the Holy Spirit spoke to her and confirmed that this child was the one. And I'm always thankful, because when we had the opening scripture about the veil, Paul talked about a veil over the people who were void of understanding, void of knowledge, void of revelation. That veil is Christ. And until that veil of darkness that the enemy has the mind locked up in, until that veil is removed, like in the temple, no one can understand who he is. He's a historical person. But when the Holy Spirit speaks and gives you revelation, then you know. You have a knowing down inside. And so today, as we think about a Christmas message, if you will, I would like to go beyond just his birth. I would like to go into this area of it is now possible as it was then. It's very possible to really tune into the Holy Spirit and listen to what the Spirit is saying to you personally. It shows that he came upon certain ones, but now in the body of Christ, and all of us are filled with the Holy Spirit, and many of us are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to prophesy. When God gives you a word, when he gives you a scripture, when he gives you something from the word, be able to speak that out. We couldn't do that before, but now we can. Christ opened the door to so many things that are possible now through him, and in him we move and have our being. But it had to start somewhere, and it goes all the way back to Genesis 3:15, when God said that he would put enmity between the man and the enemy. And one would have his heel bruised, but the other would have his head busted. And we know which one was which. Jesus was bruised, but the devil got beat up bad. He got defeated. And this is going from Genesis all the way through to the end, where we see what happened at the cross. But this little segment of the things that were said about him before anybody actually even knew who he was just another kid in the crowd brought to the temple. And sometimes you might feel that nobody pays any attention to you, that you're just another person in the crowd. But oh my, the things that the Lord has prophesied and spoken over your life are very important too. And never lose track. Guard those words that people have spoken over your life. They're very precious, because as the Lord has spoken them over your life, don't neglect them. Guard them. It might be a long time before they all come to pass. But over the years, you'll see that if they were true words of the Lord, they have come to pass, just as these came to pass. And we have the joy. Now we have the text. We can look back and read it. But these people didn't have anything in writing except some of the books of the Old Testament. And out of those, that was enough to point them to Christ. that's good enough for me.